enacting a story. People enacting a story. And a story, again, is a scenario interrelating man, the world, and the gods. Okay, so you're saying that the people of my culture are enacting their own story about man, the world, and the gods. Exactly. But I still don't know what that story is. You will. For the moment, all you have to know is that two fundamentally different stories have been enacted here during the lifetime of man. One began to be enacted here about 3 million years ago by those we've agreed to call leavers, and is still being enacted by them today as successfully as ever. The other began to be enacted here some 10,000 years ago by those we've agreed to call takers, and is apparently about to end in catastrophe. Ah, I said, meaning I know not what. If Mother Culture were to explain human history in these terms, it would sound something like this. The leavers were chapter one of human history, a long and uneventful chapter. Their chapter ended some 10,000 years ago with the birth of agriculture in the Near East. This birth opened chapter two of human history, the chapter of the takers. It's true there are still leavers in the world, but these are anachronisms, fossils, people living in the past, people who just don't realize that their chapter of human history is over. Right. This is the general shape of human history as it's perceived in your culture. I would say so. As you'll come to see, what I'm saying is quite different from this. The leavers are not chapter one of a story in which the takers are chapter two. The leavers and the takers are enacting two separate stories based on entirely different and contradictory premises. Ishmael scratched the side of his jaw thoughtfully. I think our bag is packed. As I said, I don't expect you to remember everything I've thrown into it today, but that's all right. If I pull out something tomorrow that I put in today, you'll recognize it instantly, and that's all that matters. Well, okay, I'm glad to hear it. We'll make this a short session. You can spend the rest of today groping for the story the people of your culture have been enacting in the world for the past 10,000 years. Do you remember what it's about? About? It's about the meaning of the world, about divine intentions in the world, and about human destiny. Well, I can tell you stories about these things, but I don't know any one story. It's the one story that everyone in your culture knows and accepts. It's an explaining story, like how the elephant got its trunk or how the leopard got its spots. Okay. And what do you suppose it explains? I have no idea. I've already told you, it explains how things came to be this way, from the beginning until now. I see, I said, and stared out of the window for a while. I'm certainly not aware of knowing such a story. Ishmael pondered this for a minute or two. Do the people of your culture seem to you to be terribly distressed about the destruction you're inflicting on this planet? No, for the most part, they're taking it pretty calmly. One of my pupils explained their calmness this way. They're calm because they believe what they've been told. I said, yes? What have they been told that keeps them calm? I don't know. They've been told an explaining story. They've been given an explanation of how things came to be this way, and this stills their alarm. This explanation covers everything, including the deterioration of the ozone layer, the pollution of the oceans, the destruction of the rainforests, and even human extinction. And it satisfies them, or at least it pacifies them. They put their shoulders to the wheel during the day, stupefy themselves with drugs or television at night, and try not to think too searchingly about the world they're leaving their children to cope with. Right. You too have been told this story, this single story that explains how things came to be this way, though it apparently doesn't satisfy you as well as it satisfies most. Well, I understand what you're saying, I said, but the fact remains that I don't know any such story, not any single story. It's a single, perfectly unified story. Think mythologically. What? I'm talking about mythology, of course. Any story that explains the meaning of the world, the intentions of the gods, and the destiny of man is bound to be mythology. Well, that may be so, but there's nothing like that in our culture, nothing that could be called mythology, unless you're talking about Greek mythology or Norse mythology. I'm talking about living mythology, not recorded in any book, recorded in the minds of people and being enacted all over the world, even as we sit here and speak of it. Again, there's nothing like that in our culture. Ishmael's tarry forehead crinkled into furrows as he gave me a look of amused exasperation. This is because you think of mythology as a set of fanciful tales. I'm not talking about fanciful tales. I'm talking about ideas that shape your habits of thought and direct your lives from cradle to grave. Okay. Let's cut the assignment down to a more modest size. This story, like every story, has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Before tomorrow, try to find the beginning of the story. The beginning of the story. Yes, think anthropologically. I laughed. What does that mean? If you were an anthropologist after the story being enacted by the Alawa Aborigines of Australia, you'd expect to hear a story with a beginning, a middle, and an end. Okay. What would you expect the beginning of the story to be? I have no idea. Of course you do. You're just playing dumb. I spent a minute trying to stop playing dumb. Okay, I said. I guess I'd expect it to be their creation myth. Of course. But I don't see how that helps me. Then I'll spell it out. You are looking for your own culture's creation myth. I stared at him balefully. We have no creation myth, I said. That's a certainty.